You are listening a podcast from the World Stroke Academy, the educational platform of the World Stroke Organization.
On the occasion of International Women's Day, we at the World Stroke Academy want to celebrate the achievements and careers of women in stroke and highlight female leadership. We interviewed outstanding women who were nominated by WSO board members for their important contributions to the field of stroke. This is the second episode of the hashtag Women in Stroke Initiative podcast.
I'm Alina Schwarz, Executive Manager of the World Stroke Academy, and I'm here today with Sarah Belson. Sarah Belson has worked with the WSO for nearly 6 years. She leads the Stroke Support Organization Development Program and facilitates the knowledge exchange, networking and skills development for the WSO's Stroke Support Organization membership. Sarah has 25 years experience working in community development and health and social care in the UK and internationally, and has worked in countries including Sudan, Indonesia, Myanmar and China. In the health sector, Sarah has previously supported community responses to HIV prevention and care, the implementation of the UNICEF Facts for Life program and youth mental health and well-being programs. At the WSO, Sarah has helped to grow the Stroke Support Organization membership and in particular has focused on outreach to stroke advocates in sub-Saharan Africa and Southeast Asia. Sarah was involved in the development of WSO's advocacy toolkit and the online platform for WSO members, Stroke Connector. So Sarah, it's nice to have you here with us. Congratulations on the nominations by the WSO board members. From your bio, I can see that you've worked in various health sector fields. Could you tell our listeners how you did become interested in stroke advocacy?
Thank you, Alina. It's a real privilege and a pleasure to join you today. So how did I become interested in stroke advocacy? Well, it was a bit of a long journey, I think, and you've referenced some of my experience over the years. But I've worked with community organisations for a number of years, and I've witnessed the power of civil society advocacy really in influencing firstly the attitudes and behaviours and then policy and practice. And an example of this was when I worked in China and a community group was working to support people living with HIV. And they began to build a relationship with the local Centre for Disease Control, which in turn led to a voluntary counselling and testing policy. And this in turn enabled people who were at risk of HIV infection to access this government service. So for me, I was really motivated and interested in continuing to support community groups to influence policy and practice and to build relationships with decision makers. And so I've brought this respect for and understanding of community advocacy into the world of stroke. And for the past nearly 6 years at WSO, I've connected with stroke support organisations around the world. And I soon came to realise that they were involved in influencing behaviours and attitudes of clinicians and policy makers and were really contributing to improved policy and practice. And I came to appreciate how people with lived experience of stroke are at the heart of this sort of advocacy and are crucial to this advocacy. So it's really increased my interest and added to my motivation to continue to work within health advocacy and particularly in stroke advocacy.
And in your daily work, what inspires you?
I think what really inspires me and keeps me motivated is this growing constituency of stroke advocates and stroke support organisations around the world, which also includes people with lived experience of stroke. And often these organisations and individuals are working with limited financial and human resources, and they're working to raise awareness of stroke and support people to manage their risk factors, and they are integral to community rehabilitation and recovery, often in contexts where incidence and prevalence is growing, where there is a real lack of stroke knowledge and poor access to services in the community, rehabilitation and recovery services. So this is what inspires me. It's these people that are out there in the community, dedicating their working lives and often their much of their personal lives to these activities. And so that's what keeps me going, and I feel a real privilege but also a responsibility to continue to work with these organisations and to support the work of these organisations and to raise their profile.
So connected with these questions would be the following. What would you say has been the greatest achievement of your career so far?
Well, I've been very lucky throughout my career to have worked in many different contexts and to have met some really inspiring people and to have been in their orbits, really. But I think where I'm at now, you know, after 25 years experience of working in community development with the particular focus on community health, I think I would say my greatest achievement really is the work I've done over the last 6 years with World Stroke Organization, both within the organisation but also within the wider non-communicable disease community, to really facilitate networking between the stroke support organisations, to understand and raise awareness of who these organisations are and what they're doing. We have a growing stroke support organisation membership of the World Stroke Organisation, and they're becoming more visible and their work is becoming more respected and appreciated. So I think whilst the last 6 years have been interesting and at points challenging, I think really to have got to this point where there's such improved recognition of the work of stroke support organisations, I'm really proud of that. But there's still so much to do, but I feel like we're on the right track and we're building momentum.
Looking back, what's the best piece of advice you've received?
I think the best piece of advice I've ever received was from a community worker in Myanmar, and she advised me not to dwell on mistakes or things that we've missed in our work or in a particular project that we've been involved in, but to learn from those mistakes or the things that we haven't been aware of. And she never blamed anyone or expected perfection. It was about humility, learning from our experience and building on that to improve.
And finally, can you tell us something about the projects you're working on at the moment or research that's in the pipeline? Kind of give our listeners an idea of the projects at WSO that you do.
Okay, so as we've said, my role at World Stroke Organization is to lead the Stroke Support Organization development program, and that involves facilitating networking and knowledge exchange and skills development opportunities. And so over the last 18 months, along with a team from the Stroke Support Organisation Committee at the World Stroke Organisation and a graduate student and nurse in Canada, I've been working on the global mapping of all stroke support organisations that are known to us globally. So the report includes 92 stroke support organisations from 58 countries. And we're very grateful for those organisations or to those organisations for sharing their information with us and their perspectives. And we found out about the profile of their organisations, when they started, who founded them. We found out about the activities that they deliver across the stroke care pathway, from raising awareness of stroke to supporting people to manage their risk factors and providing community rehabilitation and recovery activities. And we also found out a lot about the challenges that stroke support organisations face in the delivery of their work. And the most frequently reported challenges were inadequate policies for stroke prevention, lack of data on incidence and prevalence, and inadequate human resources to deliver their activities. And we also asked stroke support organisations to propose solutions to the challenges that they face. And across the world, there was a consistency in the solutions that were proposed. And the top three were increased partnerships between stroke support organisations and government and clinicians and academics, improved skills in fundraising, and improved skills in advocacy and campaigning. And so this global mapping report, as you can see, gave us lots of rich information. It helped us identify who these organisations are and what they are doing. And it has given us data to inform our ongoing stroke support organisation development programme. And so the sort of next steps really are to look a bit more closely at what activities the World Stroke Organisation can deliver in response to the solutions that stroke support organisations identified. And it's also helped us to identify where our ongoing research needs. So, for example, thinking about what is the quality of some of the activities that stroke support organisations are delivering. And also to explore more why certain activities are more frequent in certain regions of the world would be really interesting research areas to look into. So it's the beginning. It's been a fascinating project, and we would like to build on it over the next few years.
Yeah, congrats to this first SSO mapping report, and I believe you can find a report on the WSO website.
Yes, on the WSO website, it's under what we do, and then there's SSO global mapping. And thank you, Alina, for your support in promoting the SSO global mapping. We hope people find it interesting, and really our key objectives were to raise awareness of what stroke support organisations are and what they do, and to provide further data to help us continue to explore the best ways to support these organisations and to facilitate their advocacy and influencing activities.
Thank you, Sarah, for joining us today, and speak to you soon.
Thank you, Alina. My pleasure.